Are you ready for this?
The story?
We're doing the intro now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you say, this podcast is brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool. Watch this or listen.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm not going to say it again, so you
got
to...
I got it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right there.
This podcast is brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool. Watch this or listen.
That's a professional.
Are you kidding me?
That's a professional.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes! That's how we do it! One take, Tony.
You're probably the first one to ever do that. Actually,
the first guest to ever do that, yeah.
Really?
100%.
Yeah.
I'll take it, dude.
Congrats.
I'm glad of that confidence.
You didn't do a poop story.
That's Patreon.
That's
poop
Patreon.
Story.
Patreon. We'll have to do it.
Patreon poop story.
This is all in the intro. Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the... Y'all have a... Is it a poop story?
Yeah, you guys...
Usually every guest, we try to ask them to do a poop story.
Favorite poop story. Man, I can totally drum a poop story up.
Okay, cool. We're going to do it on Patreon.
Okay.
Are you mysterious? Are you comfortable? Do you want to be? Sunday Cool is here to take care of you. Fleece bliss. Fleece so soft, you'll even consider eating it. But don't. Essence. Beauty. Intelligence. Is it just fleece? Or is it destiny? Entangle yourself. Cloaked in mystery. Whispers of
entering.
Do you like doing podcasts?
Yeah, they're fun.
Good.
It's like I thoroughly enjoy it, actually.
Is there one that sticks out as that you've had the most fun on? I can imagine Bert's pretty fun.
Yeah, Bert was fun. I did Theo. Theo was good,
oh,
too.
Yeah,
but we kind of, you know what's funny about Theo is like, we got way too serious, so there wasn't a lot of like funny.
Oh, wow.
It was like just a little, we got, I don't know, just talked about like music industry and stuff like that. But I remembered like when it ended. Like, he was like, all right, sorry about that, man. Kind of got a little serious there. But that
you're just
was,
wiping that your tears, crying. You're like, no big deal, dude.
Yeah, no, I've like kind of left, like, depressed a little bit, like, rethink my life. But
so it's your choice. Do you want to talk about music tonight at all? Because we can not talk about it because we don't know anything about music. Actually, we don't.
We don't.
Yeah, he does.
Un poquito.
Yeah, right. I'm down. I'm down to do that. And, I mean, dude. You guys, I've learned like all of the great conspiracies from you guys.
No so way.
We can. I don't have any that I've never heard you guys talk about. So.
Well, I'm interested in the ones that stick out to you that you're most interested in.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna dive into that.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm very open to talk about music for sure.
We have like just like 50 pages of questions about music. You're like, yeah, no, I mean, no, we would never.
He says no. We'll start swiping away.
Yes.
Dang. That's awesome. We push back like there's a bunch of musicians we were about to surprise them with. We're like, no, just go back.
Go back. Like a mariachi. Yeah,
you actually do have running water. It's just all the musicians are in the bathroom.
They just stay there for the next 2 hours.
That's why you put me here so I can't see them.
Yeah. No, it's not good. Not good. You just like it.
Awesome.
That's funny.
Perfect. Thank you for coming, Hardy.
Yeah, hey, dude. My
Hardy is in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Hardy's in the building.
I don't remember which button is applause.
Try it.
Oh gosh.
Just hit a random one.
Yeah. That's my wife.
She's with us in spirit. Hardy's here.
That's good.
That sounds good.
Hardy.
Makes it serious out of nowhere. We need that every now and then.
Just hit the red button multiple times.
Red button.
No, I'm kidding. Joking. Don't do that.
I don't know if I like this.
It's making some
No, I don't like holding my own mic. This is always very strange.
Hold on, I gotta figure this out.
Here, just pause for 30 seconds. I'll cut
we could put
out.
A man on the moon, but we can't make a microphone stand work good.
Yeah, what are we doing, NASA?
We put a man
that's
on the
good.
Moon.
On the thighs.
Yeah, that's actually
should be really still.
Just shaking visibly.
Between the legs. That's awesome.
Yes.
This doesn't seem right.
It's not going on.
I can see how uncomfortable you are right now.
Does this look right? I'm holding it like it's like a serving platter.
If I like feel like I'm holding like a staff, like a wizard.
That's kind of cool.
Like a scepter?
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want, though. That's kind of the, I mean.
That's an AI photo waiting to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Yeah, dude.
Little power in there?
Staff.
Yeah, this just popped off. Oh, my goodness.
So if you're fat like me, you can just rest your wrist on your belly and just hold the mic like straight up. When there you go.
That's what I'm going to do. That's smart.
You just have to lean back, pressure gut out.
Yeah, that's what I'm
going to
do.
Hold on. Nailed it.
Yeah, let's take the stand off.
Oh, man.
Take it
the
off,
fact
dude.
That there's this much noise that's literally going to live.
Oh,
in the
it's
podcast.
All right. It's all right.
This is history in the making.
Hardy gets it. You get it.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. microphone problems.
Test, test, 1, 2, 1, 2. Little up, up.
Can I up my levels, please?
Nope, don't do it.
Don't actually do it.
Don't actually do it, yeah.
That was a bit, Andrew.
Okay. Come on. I'm literal.
Here we are. Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, dude, if you can even call it that.
Really?
We're nowhere.
Yeah, is it just a blanket statement kind of thing? Because it feels like this isn't a real city. It feels
Franklin is a real town, but we're far.
Where we're at.
Like 20 minutes. We're almost as far, I think, maybe from Franklin as, like, my house. Maybe not. Maybe a little bit closer, but.
And what's your address?
It's.
Just so people can check. Yeah, we just want to fact check it. Yeah.
This is, like, the far end of Franklin.
Yeah.
It's, like, Frankfurt.
Yeah, but we're, like,
Germany.
It's a riggedy road on the way up here.
It is.
And it's kind of secluded. There's always a threat of intruders.
I
feel like if we're going to see a cryptid, this would be the place to see a cryptid.
Yeah.
Dude, nothing yet.
I will tell you, I was out on the deck today, and there had to have been 1,000 crows.
Oh.
Just going.
I think that's a good sign. I feel like it's a good omen. Have you seen the movie Birds by...
Edgar Allan Poe? No, that's... that's
the Raven.
The Raven.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a positive movie. It's a positive sign. Yeah.
Crows
are
also like one of the smartest animals in the world.
Yeah.
They are.
Dude,
yeah.
I want to train one so bad.
Where they bring gifts and stuff?
Yeah. And they tell their friends. They literally communicate. Yeah. They're like, hey, this guy's a good guy. Go visit him.
Yeah.
Have you heard them talk?
Dude, it's so scary.
Like they're better than a parrot.
They can mimic,
like,
you mean?
Oh, yeah. They're like, I have a video where.
Is that a crow or a raven? Which one is it? I thought it was raven.
Are they not the same thing?
I don't know.
They're cousins.
They got different words, though. Got different names.
They got different names.
They
got
to be different.
I don't think so.
Listen, but I don't think so. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an amphibiatologist, but I don't think so.
I think it's like a Canadian and American. They're like pretty much the same. Yeah. Except
okay.
Like one is a little nicer.
Got it.
That's up for you to judge.
Listen, don't cancel us.
Hey, Hardy, speaking of music.
Yes.
Would you like a song?
Yeah, dude. Let's not get it out of the way, or get it over with, but let's just do it.
He's been waiting for this moment.
I was listening to the one last week, and I was like, what's going to happen?
Oh, man.
I will tell you, 20 minutes before you got here, this is what we got.
Okay.
We knew that you were coming here at least 30 hours before right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty last minute situation in the best way.
Yeah, in the best way. But
this is going to blow
your
mind.
It's going to be great.
It's going to blow your mind.
Okay. It really is. And I know you don't know anything about music, but just give it a feel. Just give it a try.
All right, I'll try.
Yeah. Because the thing is, Hardy, we're here in Tennessee, and with the election, the political season, the struggle that's happening within our country, within the world. It's just getting me down, man.
Okay.
But yet I turn on the TV, I scroll on social media, and everyone's saying, hey, it's okay. We're fine.
Yeah.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Is it, though?
The thing is, I don't know. Josh, I don't know. Hardy, I don't know. If things are going to be all right, because when I hear all these so-called truths, I can't help but wonder, Hardy. It just seems all pretty hardy to believe.
I'm scared, I'm worried, what the heck is going on? I don't know what to do. This is too believe, this is scary. UFOs are coming for us. I don't know. Hardy to believe. In beating, 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 beating. meaning. Hardy to believe.
I toss and I turn. And I wonder, is everything actually going to be okay? Because we have UFOs, we have floods, we have hurricanes, we have taxes.
Taxes.
My grandma can't even afford eggs anymore, Hardy.
She didn't have them?
I don't know. She can't find them. Ah! And yet everything's going to be fine.
Is it?
I don't know, man. It's hardy to believe.
This is weird. This is weird. What are they doing? What is NASA doing? Did we land on the moon? I don't know. I'm scared. I'm scared. What's going on? Hardy, help me. Hardy, help. Hardy to believe.
The song goes out to
Jeff Hardy, the professional wrestler.
Jeff Hardy. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. yes, I have.
Yeah.
Cool.
Honestly, Hardy, we all wrote you in on the ballot, by the way. We hope you do run for president.
Could you imagine?
I think we all have imagined it.
What a concept.
And we all want it.
Dude, one time I was doing right when like COVID started, I got a phone call from, and this obviously was like almost like 5 years ago. But there was this girl, and she was like, I'm a nurse, and I work for so-and-so hospital, and I'm collecting COVID. I don't know if y'all got it. I guess apparently it was a thing. It was back, like the unknown, you know, and I got it kind of early. And she was like, do you mind if you give me some information? Like, we're doing research. And I guess it was legit. I don't know. I didn't give her, like, my Social Security number or anything like that.
You should have.
I remembered she got my first and last name, and like halfway through the thing, she was like, wait a second. And I was like, oh no. And then she goes, are you a wrestler? And I was like, no, I am not. And she was like, oh man, worth the shot. Worth the shot. Well, have a good day. It was awesome.
Yeah. You'll be successful one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those wrestlers over there.
Yeah.
That's what incredible. You should do is write a song about your alter, like another universe, like the multiverse, to where you're the wrestler.
That's kind of wild. And Jeff Hardy is the singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty impressive. What would be your finishing maneuver?
I want to slam him.
Like that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if anyone's ever sung their own like vocals on the way down to the stage. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of wild. There's do y'all watch wrestling?
I love wrestling.
Okay. Yeah. What's his name, dude?
Describe him to me.
Come on. He's the, it's Describe not Elijah. He's, well, he's jacked.
Okay. All right. Is this,
he's the music. He's the music guy.
He's doing it now?
Yeah. Yeah. He's current. Oh my gosh. I feel like an idiot. Cause I borrowed his guitar and I hit solo with a guitar last year in Nashville.
No way. Okay. Elias. You're talking about Elias. Yeah.
He
kind of
does that.
Yeah. He does. A little bit. Yeah. He's pretty good. That's pretty fun. Yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah.
You want to talk more about professional wrestling?
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of wrestling,
yeah,
we got a question.
Okay,
Hardy. I know we're having fun, but we gotta get serious. So,
okay.
There's a lot of stuff happening right now. People are confused. They're scared. There's hate. There's love. But not enough, I don't think. And today's question, I think, really, really just brings it all to the head. The head. Yeah. So Hardy.
It's fine.
Today's question sent in by a viewer. Hardy, the wrestler, is voting important?
It's a tough question, Hardy. I understand you're here for a comedy podcast, but we really need to know the answer to this question.
This is not...
It's a yes or no, too.
There's no funny business about it.
It's yes or no?
Yeah, it's yes or no. Is it important or is it not? And it's as soon as we talk about this, we can have our giggles, we can have our laughs, we can have our conspiracy
But not
talks.
Now.
But not now.
Not now, true. Hardy.
We gotta get through this.
It's a yes or no.
Yeah, it's a yes or no.
I'm sorry that it's this way, but this is what the viewers
said.
This is my question.
Yeah.
Yes or no? Hardy, is voting important?
Yes. I had to think about it like a lot.
Hardy, what are you saying?
What do you mean? I was gonna give a non-polarizing answer.
No, we gave you time. You had time to think about that question. You had time.
Hardy, I...
This is a problem.
I'm worried for his
career at this point. We just met and we're cool. We're cool. We'll move past this. But Hardy, golly, man. Of course, we're talking about voting of who is the cutest terrorist.
Yeah, because everyone knows they have a contest every year overseas.
Every
year. And it's a terrible, terrible thing.
It's
and a
lot terrible
of people
thing.
Vote.
And it really,
we're asking
it
you right now with
hatred. It promotes violence. It promotes more terrorism.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't.
Because not, people want to win. People.
Apparently. And apparently you think that's important for to bolster these cute terrorists.
You want people
up.
To cast their ballots for
no,
these
so
people?
I was thinking that it would ensue like chaos
say,
driven by jealousy
y'all
and they would
want.
Like destroy each other.
Wait,
with
he's, no. got a good he's got a good point.
You know?
The jealousy?
Yeah, like it would ensue chaos driven by jealousy, so maybe they would like...
Seems like you're making them angrier.
It seems like you want
but
more
at themselves,
violence.
So that they, all the terrorists, they terrorize
like
each other and not like
Is that
other
a
countries.
Shovel in your hand? Because you're digging a hole, Hardy. You're digging a hole.
And I don't see a ladder for you to climb yourself out.
I don't think so. Well, I guess you guys heard it here first.
Hardy's an advocate for terrorism.
For cute terrorism.
For cute terrorism. Hardy, pro, go for it. Welcome to the show!
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say incredible, jaw-dropping, action-packed with savings.
You're talking about Thunderbolts?
No, Sergey, it's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compare's Market. A wonderful offer.
So?
That you can use to see Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts only in cinemas.
Woohoo! I'll get the popcorn.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compare the Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product through Compare the Market, one membership per year participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheap as free. T's and C's apply.
Did I say ninja? I meant...
Butterfly.
The butterfly in Snowdown. One of God's most
You learn martial arts! Ha! Ninjas are
dead! Not a good look. Not a good look.
And that's how we do it. We did that question 5 minutes before you came here.
That's good.
I think we work best under pressure. Because that song was a hit immediately.
The melodies were pretty catchy.
You can take it.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
Just me in the background.
It's pretty good.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man.
We spent a lot of time on it.
A lot of time on it. I was pooping while they were writing the majority of the song.
Was that when you texted it needs to be goofier?
He texted, he was like, it's not funny. And then we finished it. He walks out of the bathroom and we're like, dude, we've got it. And then we finish this whole bit. He's nice. And then he and I look at our phones and it was like, be funnier.
It needs to be funnier.
It was too good. It was too real. Nashville is like rubbing off on you.
Dude, I can't. Oh, yeah. I can't break out of the like 2006 emo.
I mean the da na 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 na. That was very like Blink 182.
Yeah,
little simple emo melodies for sure.
Little dashboard in it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm so hardy.
That's good.
Yeah, right? That's sure. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I was just trying to think of Blink 182 on the side of this.
Yeah. I think that was the best excerpt. What is it? Excerpt? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll not
think
that's word.
Of a Blink song, me. That was the one. I don't know. I'm not genuinely curious.
I don't think it's a real
that
word.
That was a great era to grow up in music.
Yeah.
For some.
Dude, what is this? The fire's shooting at us!
Pretty loud. I don't know if it's just the mic. Like,
no, it's happened in the room before. It happened last night.
Some look over. I'm just.
Yeah, we're moving on.
This whole place is barely held together. If you look at the joists, you can see gaps in this thing. They're like held together by screws. So
dude,
I bet it's
shoddy beam work, dude.
I don't know what a joist is. That's my grandma's name.
It's an excerpt of.
It's an excerpt of wood.
Of wood, yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful name.
Now I know.
All right, let's get into it. Aliens.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
You're not tricking me again. No.
What do you think about aliens?
That's
a broad question.
It is very broad.
Do you believe in them?
Yes. Okay. I believe that there are living planets with organic matter on them, whether that is like complex people I think that what we are experiencing right now could be us from the future, or I don't know. I don't think that there is, I don't know. I think that it's very possible to travel at like a certain speed. The fire shot me, somebody. But yeah, my short answer is absolutely.
Have you ever had an experience with anything like alien-like or supernatural you couldn't explain?
Dude, the only thing that I can think of, and I like didn't even make a big deal out of this because I thought that everybody was going to think I was an idiot, but I was shooting a video in LA, outside of LA, and I was laying on the ground, and we were like way, I don't even know, we were in between like LA and like Santa Barbara, so in like in the middle of nowhere, and there's a bunch of like, it's this giant hilly area where they shoot like a lot of Western movies and things like that. And I was laying on the ground and I was looking at the sky and I saw a really bright star and it went like really fast. And dude, I swear to God, that take took forever. So I kind of almost like not forgot about it, but I was just like, that was wild. And then like 45 minutes later, I go over and I was like, my wife was there and I was like, I think I just saw something kind of crazy in the sky. And that's like the only thing that I truly, and it, like I've seen a million shooting stars and I just remember this being like a white, or you know, it wasn't like beaming or anything, but it looked like a bright, like a really bright planet or whatever at the time. And it just went,
is that the only thing that made you look at it? Like was just because
no,
it was brighter?
No, I was laying on my back, like looking up in the sky and there were like stars and there, it just, I don't know if I was looking directly at it, but it was like a peripheral thing. But I know for a fact, stone cold sober, that's what it did.
Yeah.
And but I wasn't like, oh my God, it wasn't like these things that people see and they're, you know what I mean? Like the triangle and it triangulates and it does this and that, but it was like, I've never seen that before. And
where was that?
That was north of LA, probably like 30 miles north of LA up the coast.
He has an exact same story.
Same story.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a year ago.
2 years ago.
Two?
In LA?
No, in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Murfreesboro.
1 year, I think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I went to school there. College, by the way.
Hey, shout out. Yeah. But I was peeing on the porch.
Off the porch.
Okay. I was on the porch.
On the ground.
A little bit on the porch.
Peeing off the porch. And I felt like there was something looking at me. I look up and I see a star, like the big bright white thing. And it went.
Yeah. Crazy.
I peed all over my foot.
That's wild.
What is that? We don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's so many people's, a lot of people that just like see weird things, they all describe that.
Yeah.
Like so many people describe just that, just a really bright light, it moves, and then suddenly it just jets away, gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, that can't be just, I mean, there's got to be an explanation for that at least, just those ones, those sightings.
Yeah, because that's like pretty common, I feel like. That's like one that
doesn't
make the news, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like even like that, like I, like when I saw that, I didn't like jump up and be like, did anybody else freaking see that? Like, yeah, I just like, was whoa. Like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many things that don't make the news about aliens, man.
I'm just like the mall, the Miami aliens.
Yeah, I still trip out on that.
Catch me up on that one.
Okay, so
you know how it started, right? Like, but you're in on the whole original story where they were like reporting.
Well, I remember the one that was it in Phoenix? It was somewhere, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago. I think I heard about it from you guys. And
I think the Las Vegas ones.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like the people, the house was abandoned, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the last. So maybe that's, I don't know about the Miami.
Miami's crazy. I'll
yeah, so there was a mall in Miami.
First week of January.
Yeah. Literally the first week.
Yeah.
And
this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the beginning of 2024. Yeah. And there was a incident at the Miami Mall. I don't know what the mall's name is, but I literally saw a thing today about it. 183 police cars showed up to the mall. And there's people running out saying there's aliens. There's this 8 foot, 10 foot tall black dark shadow figure.
Someone mentioned a portal had opened up.
That's how many like cops showed
up. That's funny that you say that. Hold on. I'm getting to that.
Okay. Yeah.
So what came out was that it was just a bunch of dudes fighting with sticks.
And then there was rumors of fireworks.
Yeah,
they threw that in later.
Sticks.
Which explain the fireworks.
But there was no video from the mall or the cops. There's no body cams, no dash cams.
Right.
Nothing.
No, and people inside the mall. It was a packed mall. No one has a video recording of any interior footage.
Right.
How does that make
sense?
Like,
if I had a buddy in the backyard who was shooting fireworks at someone, I'm pulling out my phone and filming that. You're telling me no one in the mall.
Well, and also, how many cops? How many cop cars?
180. I think it was like 180 cop cars. Okay,
so that's like 3,000 cops. You do the math.
Do you know how many cops they put in the cars?
It's like a clown car, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think like of all of that. Not one person had a body cam on. Not one person.
Yeah.
Or they're not reporting it, or they're not showing it.
Right. Well,
we would have seen it at one point. We would have seen it that like that's not accessible.
But
like,
here's the crazy thing that I literally saw tonight was that someone came out and said, or multiple people said that a portal opened. And this is, it's going to get weird. It's going to get really weird.
Bear with me for a second. That's okay.
I'm really trying to rationalize this in my head. But then people from the Navy came out of the portal, got the creatures, pulled them back in. And then when they literally question the police.
Yeah.
Like in an interview, they're like, we were told that there was a portal that opened and there was Navy officials that came out and they're like, we cannot divulge further on this information. Instead of saying, what are you talking about?
Right.
They said, we cannot speak into this manner anymore.
Cool. Right. So that's a yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's confirmation.
What does that mean?
Dude, I don't know. But that's the thing. Why? Like when it comes out later, I remember it was like day or two later, there was rumors of like the police were saying the kids had fireworks inside the mall. But it's like if people were seeing flashes of light or something, like could that not be like, oh, we're just say it was like fireworks or something. If like some witness says they saw something kind of crazy, oh, it was a firework going off. That's
a portal is a portal.
Right. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, how does no one come out and say I was there?
People are running scared for their life because there's like.
What was the story we talked about that was like a submarine that was a portal? It wasn't the Montauk Project, was it?
It was the Philadelphia Project. You're talking about how it teleported?
Yeah, but it was a submarine.
I can't remember that one.
I don't know.
Is that not one of the Bermuda Triangle stories? Or is that an airplane that was like a similar thing?
I think that, I mean, they've had a lot. They've had ships and airplanes go out in there. But I think
there's, Amelia.
I'm trying to remember. There was a specific story with a submarine and a portal that I'm trying to remember. But that would.
I remember hearing about this.
It just would make sense if this
and
is.
And he got
like,
from A to B like. Like the last frequency he sent was like here, and then like he was thousands of miles away, like
and,
seconds
and like
later
didn't the crew come out and they were like they had time jumped and it didn't make sense to anyone, and so they're trying to debrief them and nothing was making sense. That's the story I'm remembering.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like I heard that before,
dude.
Hey, Jamie, could you look into that real quick? Pull that up, Jamie. Thank you.
Oh, he's not there.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi here is pretty awful. So I'm like. Load
Starlink out here,
but that would be really interesting if it is a like Navy project, because you said the Navy popped through in Miami.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that was the Philadelphia Project, was a whole time jump. The
and you also and have that like, base right how, up south of Miami too, right? Yeah. Where our friend was.
Why would it be Navy though? Why would it not be like the dudes that we don't know?
Well, of course, know, Navy stands for
Never Again. Very much. Very. Very. Yusuf? I don't know. I can think very fast. No, I'm sorry. But you have the whole rumors that aliens come from the water.
Right.
Like, that's what big, that's like a lot of people. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm sorry about the Navy thing. I should have done better.
I was really dependent on it.
Never again, Vladimir, you suck. I added an S. Navies. Good. Navies.
Yeah.
Never again, Vladimir.
It's good.
Dude, I gotta find this. It's gonna bug me. You guys can move on, but I'm gonna like shut up for the next half hour figuring this out.
My thing is like after the big just the announcement where what was it like? Was it in 2020 when all the things got released, all the files or whatever, you know, like
UAPs.
They were like
stuff.
Yeah, they were like, okay, yeah, it's a thing. We don't have
to. like that release footage of the pilot, like literally like seeing a UFO and they're like looking at it and they're like, yeah, this is 100% confirmed. We don't know what this is.
Yeah. And maybe that's all that it was, but I feel like there at some point, the quicker you normalize those type of events, the quicker people will be less freaked out about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or when it does happen, like Project Blue Beam, they rely on the government more. For the answers, right? So, like, it becomes normal. It's like, or the idea of a possible threat becomes normal. So, when it eventually happens, boom.
Dude, if I'm under attack and any branch of government shows up through a portal and saves my life,
I'm eternally grateful.
Yeah. I am eternally grateful. That's for sure.
Speaking speaking of this stuff, I have a really, really weird story. And I really tried to research it today to see, like, his exact quote on this.
Okay.
Could not find it.
Okay.
So it's 100% confirmed is what you're saying.
So it's that whole comment, what's your source, bro? Just trust me.
We got this.
All right.
Here we go.
So this guy, his name is Cliff High. And in 1997, he developed this software program called WebBot. And what it would do, it would scan the entire internet and it would collect data, and he called it predictive linguistics.
Predictive linguistics.
Yes, and the whole point of it was, so he would collect data, it would make predictions for the stock market, for it to crash, go up, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then he like delved into it a little more, and it's just like, let's see like what else it can predict.
Yeah.
It's basically like the preliminary of like AI.
Right.
True, yeah.
But in 2009, he ran the program, the WebBot, and it came up with a prediction of the future.
1997?
No, 2009.
2009, okay.
So this software is still running?
It
12
is.
12 years later?
Yeah, so what he does, he collects the data, and it's the predictions for the stock market, and then he sells it. So it's like,
okay.
It's not
like a
like
market
a
research
thing.
Almost.
Yeah,
type
yeah.
Thing.
Also, okay. Good math. 13. That was 12 years. That was pretty good.
That was really good.
That was really good.
How many toothpicks? So yeah, in 2009 he ran it, and it came up with a prediction of the future, but there had to be a trigger to, have the prediction come true. Set it in motion. And it said that when this trigger happens, then 39 days later, this prediction will come true. Mm-hmm. 2009. What this software came up with was that there was going to be a battle in the air with the military and UFOs, and that even UFOs would be fighting UFOs.
Whoa.
So like a literal like...
A Star War.
Oh. Yes. Here's the crazy part.
We're not even there. Okay.
So the trigger for this, when the trigger happens, mm-hmm. 39 days later, UFO battle.
Yeah.
2009.
Yes.
The trigger was Donald Trump would be interviewed by Joe Rogan.
Bro, no. Nuh-uh. No way, dude. That's crazy.
And then when he saw it on the software, he's like, he dismissed it. He's just like, I don't even know what this is.
It's obviously broken. Why would Donald Trump be a president?
Because Joe Rogan, he had a podcast in 2009. That's when, yeah. when he
I was
like, going to
say,
started.
Like, he wasn't just doing Fear Factor at that point.
No, he started the podcast. The podcast was like maybe a year or so in, like early in 2009.
Days, yeah. Near prime Rogan.
And so it said when Joe Rogan interviews Donald Trump on his podcast 39 days later, which would be for us
yeah, soon.
December 3rd.
No.
There would be a battle in the air.
Who is this Cliff High guy, dude?
Right. I don't know. He might.
Is he dead?
We need to say Cliff goodbye to this guy yeah, because Cliff, I don't like his news. Yes.
Cliff bye. For
again,
sure.
Again, this is a complete trust me, bro.
Yeah. That is crazy. That is a fun concept, though. Golly, man.
But it's a real thing. I mean, like, this dude has a legit business. It's a.
Yeah, the software is real and stuff.
So this is Wikipedia. Webbot is a internet bot computer program whose developers claim is able to predict future events by tracking keywords entered on the internet. It was developed in 1997, originally predict stock market trends. The creator of Webbot project, Cliff High, along with his associate, keep the technology and algorithms largely secret and sell predictions via the website. And so it's a real program. Like he really,
this guy's just from the future, dude. And the technology he is might BS. Be. And it's all just like, he just knows everything that's going to
yeah.
happen.
Yeah,
it's
when like, Joe Rogan interviews Donald Trump, UFOs.
And everyone heard that, like, this is what you've been spending all the money on.
But you think a about prediction it, like man. That. You think about, of course, this is coming out in the future because this is coming out in 2 weeks.
When we're filming. It's right November now. 3rd. It's a month from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's already happened.
Yeah.
All the crazy stuff. But I want to hear your thoughts on like what they're like, how the news and the government, they're constantly talking about UFOs now. Not constantly, but like.
It's a regular
thing. It's a serious topic now. Like a real national concern.
I don't know. I mean, I think just like anything else, think about like. COVID is like the only thing in our lifetime, and not even that, though. It was still kind of it really wasn't a gradual thing, but like media has done a really good job. And honestly, I don't have a great example of like massaging things until people are just like used to them, right? Like
propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly. And I just feel like it's going to be one of those things. I feel like. If it is a thing that in 10 years, if nothing crazy has happened to our planet by then, it could just be like a normal thing. If it is really a thing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense at all? I feel like that was very vague well put, but.
No, it's a waiting game at this point. Like, that's the tough thing. It's like, it feels like something's in the air. Something's coming.
For sure. But I also feel like it's just going to be like a little thing here and a little thing there. And then boom. Yeah. Oh, we have a real alien. That's real. Everybody freaks out for 2 weeks, and then the next thing is like, oh, we have another one, or like, oh, we figured out where it came from, and then
that's
people get used to that, or you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like...
It's a plan.
I'm hoping
it's a long-term plan.
That we don't look out in the sky, and there's 4 million spaceships, and we're about to be lasered to death. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just going to be one of those things that like one little thing happens and another, and it's just a very slow snowball into like our lives being like Men in Black type stuff.
I mean, I think that's the thing. As long as you're comfortable or we're comfortable, people are so easy to just be like, well, that exists now. Because like we were talking about like the assassination attempts and stuff. Like when that happened, it was like, oh my gosh. And then they, you know, thwarted a couple other things and was like, oh, I guess it happened again. And it was just like that we were like, whatever. Yeah. That's a part of everyday life now.
It's like the human condition is just complacency and getting used to things very quickly.
As long as I can still run through Starbucks, you know, I'll just swipe through Instagram and be chill.
Which is a little concerning, right? It's very concerning. How easily we're just like, just numb to, or not even numb, just like we just move past things, like pretty big things.
Yeah. I mean, you look at COVID, like how like so many people just got fed up with so much lies and stuff. Like we were willing to cooperate. But then things just got weird for so long. And it's like, I can't do this. It's exhausting. People can't care
about everything constantly. And so like when something new comes along, it's like, oh, that's crazy. On to the next thing.
I think like phones and things like that too made that worse.
1,000%.
Right? It's just the training your brain to be like video, boom, next thing, next thing, next
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Dude. I think like Lahaina to North Carolina too. Like it's like small town, big area. Like I think even, you know, we don't have to go all in on some of those thoughts, but I think that's what they're doing. Just what? My opinion. Like Lahaina, it's just, it's a city. It's like a small city on the coast.
Oh, or just like the.
Yeah.
What is, wait, what is Lahaina?
Lahaina. You don't know.
The Maui fires?
Yeah, the Maui fires.
Sorry. Yes.
No, you're good.
You don't speak Hawaiian?
I'm sorry. I'm not fluent. I just speak it, but I'm not fluent.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, we all freaked out for a while about that, but there's still people displaced over there.
Right.
And, you know, like, we're not talking about it anymore. And then, you know, you do something like that, and then North Carolina happens.
We know it's crazy. In North Carolina, my brother just told me today, my dad's friend from North Carolina, their mayor did like a city council kind of thing. And they said, don't do anything with the federal government, because what they're doing, they're trying to take our land and do all this stuff. So we need to come together as a community and try to rebuild our own community ourselves, because the federal government is trying to undermine everything.
That was the
same. Wait, because there's an agenda there. What was it? There's like lithium.
The
is
lithium,
that what it is?
Yeah.
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 Crazy.
Well, it was the same thing happened in Lahaina. They weren't letting people go back to their properties.
Mm.
They were saying you can't go there, but they were getting some. They're like, we can't provide assistance to you. We can't provide housing to you. But realtors and investors were able to find them and make offers on properties they hadn't even been back to. And they're like,
crazy.
Now you can, if the realtors can figure out how to come up with a system of communication and like efficiency and plans, it's like, if they can do it, you can freaking help.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Figure it out. But
there just needs to be a good PR team between the government and the people.
That's
like, there just needs to be a mediator or something, because whenever it's like when they show up, it just feels like it's just like, I don't know. Like, you're not in control, and they've got different plans, and it doesn't seem like it's the best for the community.
I feel we were talking to that dude the other night around the bonfire. But so have you ever heard of Project Mockingbird?
From you guys, but refresh me on
so
it.
The CIA, it was basically they went to the news, and it was all about, it was literally just a propaganda machine. Like, how much can the government use the news to sway the people,
right?
Like, have them
influence them
and all that stuff. And they denied it, but then it got declassified, and they're like, oh yeah, you really did that. And so my whole thing is like, if they were doing that in the 60s, 70s, they're doing it tenfold right now.
Sure.
Like, they're cranking it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, but that seems so obvious to us
for
now.
Me, I'm just like, so you think of like MK Ultra.
Yeah.
The project, what I just talked about.
Mockingbird. Yeah.
They've figured out the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we did that. We're not doing it anymore. But I really think they're doing it tenfold now.
They
like
have
with
to be.
Every social media, with every news outlet.
Well, too much is at stake.
It's
to not.
Have you heard about like the Panama Canal thing that they did, where they intercepted radio frequencies? The CIA did, because there was like this deal made. We built the canal, then we gave it back to the people, and then they started like finding better deals and like screwing us over on business. And so I watched this guy who was in charge of the thing, and he was like, it wasn't a coup. He's like, but we literally gave all this state-of-the-art equipment to Panamanians and let them talk to their people, and they would intercept radio, and then they would broadcast. They were saying true polling results to get, and the guy was like tied to a bunch of corruption, but they were like, they were like, we were just giving the people power. It was like, man, you were setting up. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing that they were doing. I'm not saying the guy that they were getting out was a good guy, but very clearly they were using radio, like the media of the time, to influence the political landscape of another nation for the United States benefit and use of the canal. It's like, if they were using radio way back then and finding different people, we would call them local influencers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way they're not still doing that.
Yeah. Back then, that was the only outlet of communication, right?
Like, right, yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
It's scary, man.
So, yeah, I believe in aliens.
Full circle.
What a callback.
For sure.
Speaking of aliens, though, did you know that we got an ad? Don't go anywhere!
Give me a key.
C. No, wait. C is... that's not right either. C.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
It's going to be hard, but you got it.
Coming up with a song and it's gonna be one day cool. We're all gonna wear shirts and we're gonna have a fun day cool. It's gonna be real safe as long as we don't bring our gun day cool. Patreon episode brought to you by Sunday cool. Take it away, boys. Sunday cool. Shirts for you.
Shirts for you.
Sunday cool. That's for you.
72-hour turnaround.
Super soft ink.
Water base is our thing.
What do you think?
Custom stickers.
It's what we do.
Hats and jackets.
We do that too.
Sunday cool.
Sunday cool.
We're here for you.
Here for you.
Don't you know?
SundayCool.com. Go.
Boom. That was awesome. That was great.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's wild. It was in some arena.
Yes.
It was like an arena, and it was right across the street from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And there, yeah.
We were at the same thing, man.
Same church camp.
That's amazing.
Man, wow. I wish I could think of the name of that thing.
Oh. Did you grow up going to church camp?
It wasn't a student life. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Big time.
Wasn't a student life.
It was, maybe, I think it might have been a student life.
That corner was a student life thing.
It was student life, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It might have been student life.
Because we went to one in a different, I think we were in Alabama, but that's where we saw that same skit.
That is so
Did you guys go to Infuge? You remember Infuge?
I never did the Fuge
Any
camps.
Of the Fuge camps? No. I did the Fuges.
We did
for sure.
Student lives, and then we switched to Big Stuff.
I don't know that one.
That was down in Panama City, but that was like the North Point circuit of people, too.
Cool. Church camp, man.
Church camp.
It's the best.
Church
the best.
Camp.
Church camp, baby. Let's
That's
talk
crazy,
about it.
Shut up.
I tell you what, shout out to all the youth pastors dealing with pubescent adolescents at church camp. Because on the other side of it, when I was a student pastor, that got gnarly.
Yeah, dude, I can't imagine, dude. That's awesome. It's not awesome, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We'll tell some stories off pod.
So wasn't that ad great?
Yep, that ad was really great. I had a good time with it. It was a good ad.
I didn't know that you were going to sing a song.
Yep, that was really great. I'm really glad he's like, I want to sing a song right now, and he sang a song for the ad.
Yeah,
that was really nice of him.
Jingle.
I don't know. That was wild. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah,
I know they enjoyed it.
They did. Yep. So music.
Yeah.
Let's dive into
speaking.
What
of
is music?
All right. So what do you know about the Hertz thing?
Hertz.
Yeah, like the frequency stuff. It's
440.
Yeah, 440 and 432 hertz.
I forget the second. I just remember 440.
Have you heard about this?
Have you ever been approached by the Illuminati?
No, I actually don't believe in the Illuminati in music.
In music? You think it exists other places?
I think so. I think that there are, I've heard a few quotes from some people that are like, you know, you have a list of the richest people in the world, but there are people that are far richer than that you will never, ever, ever hear about. And I think those are the people that control the world and the world economy. But I don't believe. I don't
think there's any chance that there's any musicians that are so high up that aren't being controlled by
if they,
certain people?
Like Jay-Z, Beyonce.
They don't know it if they are. I can confidently make that. I don't know it. Like, I don't have proof that there's not, but I don't believe it one bit.
Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Then we're safe.
Then we're safe.
Yeah, no, I think
also, I want to thank Beyonce for Ninjas and Butterflies. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for allowing us to have a podcast. We really appreciate it. Well, that's good to know. I feel better at night now knowing, because I don't know. It seems better. Like, it seems like there are some weird conspiracies and weird coincidences within the music culture. I know, like, there is probably, you know, like, maybe it's not Illuminati, but it is definitely, there's definitely some.
Like the 27 Club.
Yeah, I think coincidence, man.
All right.
I really do. I think that, I just think that there are record executives that have a very, very, very good radar for who can be a star, and like almost like their own version of like market research, and they can see like what the next thing is going to be, and then they can find that person years before they know what the next thing is going to be, and they develop that person into that next thing, and that's what makes them a star. And I think that there are executives that are just extremely skilled at that, but I don't think that they wear cloaks and that they drink children's blood and that they do all of the crazy stuff that people think. I don't think that there's like a thing, like a music thing that controls this and that and the other. I just think people become big stars and good for them, and then what they do with that is their own thing, but I just don't think that there's like a behind the scenes thing. I really don't.
Well, how the 27 Club started, you know how that story?
I only know that there is like a handful of really big stars that are, you know, that died.
It was, what was his name? Something Johnson, I thought. Yeah, Johnson. Yeah, but it was like 1927.
And he was an artist.
He was an artist. He wasn't very good at playing guitar. And the story goes,
Robert Johnson.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Created the blues, man.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. And so, but the story goes, he's
sold his soul to the devil.
Sold his soul to the devil on a, you know, dark road. And then he dies mysteriously after, I can't remember, was it a poisoning or something happened?
His friend poisoned him.
Yeah. And so do you, maybe there's not an actual physical human group of people that are organizing stuff, but do you think there's a possibility?
Like an evil entity?
Of anything, sorts? Anything spiritual.
Like a
yeah.
supernatural.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I think entertaining, selling your soul to something that represents infinite evil is probably not a good recipe for you living the rest of your life in a pure and, you know.
Totally, yeah.
Just great way or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's like ground zero for that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like very vocal about it, but you know, I just don't know. I don't know how much of that I believe. I mean, I've heard that exact story. I'm from Mississippi, and he's from there too.
It's a fascinating story.
It is.
Yeah.
But
whether it's true or not.
Yeah, like did he really suck at guitar and then really become great the next day? I don't know.
Or is he a really great hustler? Because that'd be a great game.
There's a lot of people.
Gain a reputation of being a terrible musician, make a fun story, then become great. I mean, like,
that's called playing the game.
Yeah, that's what you
gotta
do.
There are some people that are so, so good at playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hardy, don't sell your soul.
Dude, I'm not. Don't worry.
Promise us right now.
Promise us. I'm going to cry.
I have a song called Soul for Sale. I know.
I've been sitting here so uncomfortable because I know that.
Beyonce comes out. I want to thank Hardy. No!
Yeah. I don't believe it. I don't think it's real. Not in the music industry.
Gotcha. Is there? And do you have inklings for other industries that you've seen?
Again, I just think, I think, I don't know. I go back and forth on it, but again, I just think that there are very, very powerful people. Mm-hmm. I do think a lot of politics are very, like, I do think that you go to war, people go to war to make money and things like that. Like, I think there is like
the industry.
Yeah, an industry behind an agenda behind a lot of like major decisions that are made on the world's behalf.
Yeah.
To benefit maybe one person or one group of people, but I don't know.
Even like the concept of selling one's soul, though, it's like your soul is sold in tons of small compromises, and that happens in any industry. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these military guys, like a lot of them started out like, I'm signing up to do something good. And then you end up like letting so much stuff happen, and then you end up not even controlled by a guy, but the whole system that's moving in a corrupt direction.
Not a guy, but the guy, dude. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know. But like you think about it, it's like it can be not one overarching like thing, but it's like this myriad of decisions that like led to a place where You know, yeah. if the person could talk to themselves when they started, like maybe they're in a place where they wouldn't have intended to set out to making those little compromises. But yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. I like that.
Yeah.
So you've never heard of the like the Hertz thing?
I don't know if I have.
It's pretty wild.
What is this like you play music at a certain frequency and it convinces people to do certain things?
Or evokes certain emotions.
So like throughout from the dawn of man to let's just say up into the Nazis.
It's a good timeline.
The Hertz for music was 432. And that was like the standard 432 Hertz.
Like for music recorded or broadcasted?
Yeah, broadcasting, recording.
Just like that was the standard. Even the tuning of like instruments was like to 432. And then it started with the Nazis. This is the conspiracy theory. But they figured out that if you play it at, was it 440?
440, yep. I'm looking it up right now.
That certain frequency would cause like just like angst and
our cells vibrate at certain frequencies, and so the theory is that 440 vibrates in dissonance with the natural vibration of the universe. So you create this dissonance in the body, and then there's a desire to escape the dissonance, and that desire is controllable.
Okay, sure, I'm with you.
Which sounds wild, right? This sounds like a hippy dippy.
No, I'm here for all of it. I want to hear. So well,
yeah, you should be because this is what we're about. So.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but the whole thing was like, so they even like had such like they infiltrated like the BBC and they changed the whole music industry with the 440 Hertz to create chaos and like. The saying is like out of chaos comes control.
Right.
Yeah. So like that was like the beginning of what our music industry, just kidding. But the whole point was just like we create chaos with this very, it's very similar to 432, but it's just slightly off kilter for control. And so.
It's interesting. That is a very scientific and physical explanation to why the music industry, the music version of the Illuminati might exist.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that are like, that have produced some insanely massive records that I know for a fact have no idea what
yeah, I'm sure.
And that's sure. The only thing is just from being like on the inside of a lot of that. And like, if I brought that up to like Joey Moy, who has produced Morgan Wallen, who is like one of my best friends, he would be like, dude, you're out of your freaking mind. But when it comes to like, so when you say like the Nazis, Hitler, are you saying like his speeches were broadcasted at that frequency?
So any music, it was just music.
So it was just music. So any like, any propaganda, but like Jewish hate music maybe that was coming out at that time? Is that what you mean?
No, just any music. So like they
worldwide, right?
Like it was before.
So was the Nazis just like? Why was that like your?
I think he's using that just for the timeline, right?
Oh, like okay, the, okay, okay. Got you.
Well, I mean, no, but they're ones that implemented it.
Okay,
they figured it out, so to speak,
because they're into the whole experimental, crazy stuff, and so they before World War II broke out, the Nazi Party was a real party within Germany, and they were, I wouldn't say respected, but like they were just a party. Like we had the Olympics in Germany during the Nazi reign and stuff, you know, but what they did, they had such, I don't know how to say it, but they had so much influence that they like went to like this whole like director of music or whatever with the BBC, with the radio stations, and like, you should start implementing the 440 Hertz.
Oh, like they were very adamant about doing that as opposed to 438 or whatever.
And
correct me if I'm wrong, like there's no debate on the switch. All the conspiracy is why.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
like, why was it so important?
Because it's proven that it did switch.
But there's not a noticeable difference in the two, I don't think.
Except for the human psyche.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but like to the human ear.
Yeah.
Nobody exactly. would know the difference.
Yeah.
Dude, interesting. I want to fight right now.
Ow. Ow.
That is wild, man.
Some straight up Zoolander stuff.
Because we talked about it and it evokes certain emotions, heightens them, and allows you to like interact with those like more. So it makes you more angry, it makes you more agitated. Whereas like churches were having like bells that were ringing at a healing frequency, which what they said. And so like this is the exact opposite of that.
Even other religions and stuff like that, like yeah. the resonant stones or whatever they were. But like the counter argument would be in modern time is like worship music from, you know, like churches, all this stuff, it's still being produced by the same producers in any industry. And so it's like it's all coming out at 440. And so to make that confident assertion, we'd be saying the whole of music broadcasting is part of this narrative of
right.
evil.
Right. Even, even music that is bringing people to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, right? That's like, yeah, that's interesting.
Great thing.
We should just stop music.
Yeah.
Right, guys?
I do have, like, when you think of aliens and you think of, like, life, free-thinking people or beings on other planets, I've thought about this a lot, but how music is such a, like, there's forms of art, and there's to me, there's, like, very few. There's paintings, right? There is film. Mm-hmm. And to me, pictures and painting are the same thing.
Visual arts, yeah.
There's film, there's music, and there's dance. I don't, there could be more than that, but like how like art is such a random tangent in like this cycle of like, I really can't articulate this as good as I want to, but like, it's just such a special, weird side quest that planet Earth has been granted.
Yeah.
Where music, and me, I always go to music. I know that like dance and other things and film and all that stuff is, you know, depending on what people are passionate about. But, like, to me, it's the coolest thing. And I think about, like, do other planets have, if there is life in, on other planets, especially, again, with people who have free will or free thinking or whatever that may be, is there some sort of art form that moves masses of people like music does? And if there is, what is it? And how cool would that be to experience that? Because it could be something that we've never, I don't know what it would be. It could be literally anything in the world. It could be a freaking something you do with your hand motion or something. And like there's some giant Michael Jackson superstar that's like doing something with their hands and all these people are crying and freaking out. Like you just don't know. But I think that that's such a cool, special, weird, like side quest thing that Earth has been granted because it's such a universal language. Like art, especially for me, music is so, it's because music, even because film and certain things, like especially these days, you have to like know what people are saying and somewhat to kind of understand like, you know, storylines and things like that. But music is the only language that the entire Earth knows how to speak.
Yeah.
100%. And like, does that exist somewhere else? And if so, like in what form? Like, I just think that's the coolest thing ever.
Well, that goes like on a very deep spiritual level because it talks about like Satan, who was, one could say, like the first fallen angel, they said that, I forget which verse it is, but God talks about how he was like,
he directed like the choruses or whatever.
Yeah, you know, like he was
musically involved.
Like he did the lyre and like whatever, all that stuff. Like he was like very, like Satan was like very musically talented. And so like it goes like on a very deep spiritual level of just like what you said, like it's so universal,
but it can be used for good or for bad.
For good or for bad. Well, yeah. So he got tainted with that, right? So he was so.
But I think that was a gift and a skill and an art that, because the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the water over this universe, and that word for hover can actually be translated to vibrating over the water too. Mm. And so, like literally pushing. You could say it could have been a note. Like we don't know. We won't.
Yeah,
know.
That's crazy.
But people
dude.
Theorize about heaven too. Like people talk about like one day we're gonna see there and we're gonna like be able to hear color, like experience. Just you know, like people like when the angels showed up and like the you know the story, the Christmas story. They show up in the field and the angels are or the shepherds are freaking out. It's like, what did that song sound like that these angels like popped up and started doing? Like, was it this different display of frequency, different display of art? Like,
yeah. I mean, you talk about the side journeys, everything like that's what heaven will literally be. Like every art that human could ever create will be at its highest peak.
Yeah.
And like be able to experience that on the highest level, like whether it's music or video, whatever it is, like that's the cool thing. Like however people connect and get passion and get fed, that's going to be,
it's going to be a G chord for sure.
To circle. Yeah. To circle back, suspended. Like we've talked about it before, but there's this book called Imagine the God of Heaven, and these people that have these NDEs, like the near death experiences.
Yeah.
They talk about like being in heaven or like the presence of God. And like, they say like, the grass is singing, the trees are singing, like everything is singing to the glory of God.
It's crazy.
And you think about like, what is Satan going to do? He's going to like bastardize and taint what is glory to God and make it what is not glory to God. And so full circle, if we're going back to the Nazis, it's just like,
goes back to the Nazis.
Always the Nazis, always the blame. But like you think about that, you know, it's just like, can you take music and it can be for good or it can be for bad.
Yeah, it manipulates the crap out of people, dude.
Yeah.
Like it really does. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
I got super sad about some dumb girls in sixth grade because I was listening to some music.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, Simple Plan made me feel like I was going through it.
Hey, Dad, look at me. Yeah. Hey, Dad, talk to me. Did I grow up according to plan?
Dude, those memes crack me up. Like kids, like crying in their bedroom, thinking they got the worst life ever.
Oh yeah.
Mom yells at you, slam the door.
I'm just a kid waking up in a nightmare.
Oh man,
that's good.
Oh man, I found there was a while ago, and these pages will never see the light of day. But I found some of my like lyric books from like early high school.
Yeah, dude.
I was like, dude, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, what were you so pissed about? Dude?
Yeah, I was like, was I really this sad?
We need to go back and we need to make one of those the Ninja songs.
That's pretty much all of the Ninja songs.
Oh my god!
We just need to pick your lyrics though. We need to sing them to a really good melody.
That's literally like.
You have them on your phone. I'll read the lyrics.
That one. That's one of them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Like, I can't imagine Adam's life without Eve by his side.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Why I decided to give you my life.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Oh, man. Youth group kid depressed about a sixth grade girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You going to start making comedy songs anytime soon?
I do that all the time.
Do you?
Half my career is kind of... My first single was I've never... And I still won't, like, tell anybody if it was, like, serious or what.
Or fully a joke.
But there's a lot of people that consider it. So my first, like, single, my first, like, breakout onto the scene song was called Rednecker.
Mm-hmm.
You might you're redneck, but I'm rednecker than you.
100%, dude.
And, like, I think a lot of people resonated with that because it made them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
and
totally.
To this day, I have every record, I have a song that's just, like, obnoxiously... redneck or something to where it's like it's funny.
That's so fun. And that's what, like, that's what
there's humor and that's country music too. And like, there's just humor in country
music. You look at Johnny Cash's old music, it's like he would just do joke songs,
dude, the
like
Chicken Man song or whatever. What song is that? Like the
so funny.
Yeah
like literally a guy goes to surgery and his brain's in Johnny Cash's brain is implanted into a chicken.
Yeah.
And the chicken is doing the shows.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm like, this is Johnny Cash singing this song.
Singing a song about becoming a chicken.
One part of it, one part at a time or something like that. One,
the Cadillac song.
Yeah.
I think it's one part. We stole one part like every year he worked at the Cadillac factory, right?
Yeah.
It was 1983, whatever it was. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's comedy. There's like, I'm trying to think of a Red Solo Cup.
Yeah.
Tony
yeah.
Keith. That yeah, song yeah. is oh, literally yeah. a song about, it's like funny. It's like a comedy song.
Dude, I grew up on Cletus D. Judd.
Oh, come on.
I love NASCAR.
Dude, it's my kind of race.
So good, dude. We need somebody like that, that just does the Weird Al Yankovic country music just needs to.
But like now, right?
Yeah, totally.
I feel like that's.
We need a new one.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? A lot of people ask about this, which, you know, So that would be called an interpolation, which is like a really big thing right now in country music. Like Jake Owen was kind of the first guy to do it in a long time. He had the Jack and Diane song, and then who did it recently? Jelly Roll and Dustin Lynch had it was the Give Me the Beat Boys, the Free Mind, yeah. But they had their like version of that. Chris Young had a it's a big like interpolation thing, but so, you know, I'm actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, because you have to, like, you have to get permission
right,
for your song to be made fun of. But if you, that's what it, to interpolate a song, you have to get permission because it's a publishing matter. But if you were to, like, for example, I could go re-record Taylor Swift's first 5 records and put it out, and I would not have to have permission because I'm recording them as, like, the song. It's called the First Usage Act. And so let's say Taylor Swift records a song. Let's say she records a song she didn't write. She never did, but let's just say that she did.
Yeah.
She has to get permission from the songwriters to record that song. Everybody says, yes, of course. And then she records it. Once that song is recorded and released one time, anybody in the universe can record it without any permission. They can re-record that song, and they could literally break it down and play every instrument and everything exactly the same and put it out. And there is no permission required.
Until like a, what?
Until nothing.
Nothing, really.
And then the producer, really? Whoever owns the master. So, like, if I – what's like – okay, let's just say I wanted to re-record Body Like a Back Road by Sam Hunt and put it out. And let's say I just – got with my buddy Zach, who is a guy I work with a lot, and I'm like, let's re-record Body Like a Back Road and let's put it out, and you and me split the profit 50-50. We put it to Spotify. Let's say it streams 50 million streams. We're making 150 grand off of that song, and we did not have to get any permission to do that. Like, people can do that.
Why
like
don't people more people do that then?
I don't know.
Because I'm telling you right now,
this is the first time I'm hearing it, so we're going to start doing it.
Yes. It's called First Usage Act or something like that.
Dude, everyone in the comments is going to be asking for the Taylor Swift album.
But
the songwriters, you have to do it now.
The songwriter has to sign off on the first time.
But the songwriters, if I on my version of Body Like a Back Road, the songwriters still make a royalty from that.
So they're going to say,
but
yeah.
The original producer and singer and all that, like from the actual production, would not make a dime off of it. We would make all the money on the new master, the new insane. Production.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, that's America, baby.
Yeah,
hey,
dude. American dream.
That's what we're here for, baby.
God bless. All right, Hardy. What is the conspiracy that would keep you up at night? Something that you're just like, just rattling in the brain.
Something that bothers you.
Because I'm curious.
Something that scares you, maybe.
Be 9/11.
No, that one, I you know.
JFK.
It's an easy one. We all know who did it.
John, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's the guys with 3 names, always. Mine's not even a Robert Downey Jr. Mine's not a conspiracy, but it's the concept or the fact that we haven't figured out ghosts.
Okay.
That for some reason, like, pisses me off that we have it. Yeah. I'm like, dude, we can do all of these things, and we know everything about frequencies and, like, and all that, but there are just hundreds of thousands, millions of ghost stories.
Yeah.
And we do not have any, I mean, there's, what, like, ectoplasm, and, like, there's a few things, but, like, nobody has been able to figure that one out yet. That for some reason, I'm just like, why are, I mean, I guess, like, how much does it matter, you know, is, like, people's thought process or whatever behind, like, why are we not pumping money into this? Why? Because, it, you know, maybe it doesn't matter, but that one gets to me a lot.
Yeah, that's just left untouched.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just don't know. It's unsolved.
Well, do you think that it could be, well, so do you think that when people die,
What do you think happens?
Their spirit could still be wandering.
I don't think it's their spirit.
It's a like a deception.
I think your spirit and your soul, if that's the same thing,
sure.
Goes somewhere else. But I think that there is some type of, like, we didn't know what radio waves were until like a little over 100 years ago. You know what I mean? And like to think what we've, how far we've come from just that concept to now, like something that was invisible that somebody figured out. And I just, but I think that there is like something. I think it's like an energy thing. I tell a story all the time. I have a good friend of mine who I know very well and I trust him very well. He is not a guy to over embellish. Like it's just one of those people that I'm like, I know this guy. I know that he's not full of crap. And he lived on a hill just 20 miles north of here where a big Civil War battle was fought in Green Hills in Nashville. Yeah, yeah. And he was laying on his hammock one night in his backyard, and he looked up and he said to himself, what is this guy doing walking up the hill in my yard? And he said, the longer I looked at him, I realized that he was in full Civil War garb and that he was like on a beeline up the hill, and that he just kind of disappeared up in the woods. And he was like, I just saw a ghost. I just saw a Civil War soldier walk into the woods.
Hey, I got goosebumps.
Dude. And I'm like, dude, he would not make that. Like he would not make that up. And he's like, I saw it from the point, like from the bottom of the hill. And it was like late in the afternoon. And he was like, he wasn't like glowing or floating. He said it just looked like a dude. And he didn't make noise or anything, but he just watched him walk up the hill. And in my mind, I'm like, that guy, like, there's an energy that guy could have carried. And honestly, as sad as it is, that guy could have got shot at the top of that hill. And he's just, his like energy or something, it was like stuck in this loop of just, and every now and then for whatever reason, when the timing is right, like you can see him or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a theory for that. It's, I forget what it's called, but it's like, if there's something that is like traumatic to someone and they die, it's like, it's almost like, it's like a stamp imprint of like, call it like a realm or energy or frequency, whatever, but it's like, it's literally imprinted on that location to where it just loops.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like the past comes to our realm that we see, and it's like, it's just a glitching continuation. Out almost, yeah. Yeah.
Right, because like nobody is like, oh, Grandpa Joe freaking died peacefully in his bed and he haunts the crap out of this house now. Yeah, it's always like somebody got murdered or like, you know, so just something crazy happened. All these psych wards and all the prisons and things that are like extremely haunted, it's because the people that died like died in,
it's like an imprint,
in a very dramatic way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you wonder what are the attributes of that? What makes it stick?
We talk about how like time is a construct of this universe.
Yeah.
And so if like your soul departs the universe, like your kind of time would exist differently for someone who's departed than it would for someone who's experiencing like minute by minute. So like being locked in a specific point on the timeline.
That's so
like,
scary.
I watched you too. You were, I'm like trying to do that math in my head.
12.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a ghost story.
Oh, dude, please. Let's go.
And it's really, and this house is like the perfect place. I've told this story a few times.
Let me stop you right there real quick.
Okay.
Let's go.
Your girls were saying, Paige and Andrew were out here, and your girls were like running around hiding, and like, we're hiding from the twins.
Our imaginary twins. Oh, my God. Imaginary twins.
Yeah, we woke up this morning, we're like, hi, girls. They ran around the corner. We're like, what are you doing? Hiding from the imaginary twins.
Now, I've always thrown that off as like, wow, they're so creative. Maybe they are being haunted. I don't know. But they've been doing that for years, so.
Well, that's another thing, though, with like cats and dogs and young.
Yeah, kids.
Children.
It's like they can see through like the veil.
It's like you're closer to, I don't know about cats and dogs, but like you're closer to not being born. Right. Yeah. To wherever you were before that type thing. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Total sense. Yeah.
The Bible teaches that God knows us before we're formed in our mother's womb, which would say we exist in unison with him before we're inserted into the timeline.
Right.
So it could be that same sort of.
And if that's the case, is it like a spiritual thing?
Yeah.
And also, like, if you know the gospel, Jesus appeared after he died in a very ghost-like way, and he would just appear in rooms, and disappear,
walk
from
through
rooms.
Walls.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
But also incredibly physical. It was like he was in control.
It's like my buddy, I'm telling you, it's like the same thing. He wasn't glowing or floating. It was like he was a person, but then he would just like be gone.
I think it's another realm.
Yeah,
I think it's a realm beyond what we know.
But what do you like? How do you? And I'm not like, it's almost like a rhetorical question, but like how, like it's another realm, but. Is it your soul? Is it not your soul? Like, how does that running parallel with your like your faith and like what you believe in, because you know, if your soul and your consciousness goes to heaven, how do you explain dude walking up the hill? How do you explain Jesus being who he was, but appearing and disappearing and basically being a ghost?
I think we don't know anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the biggest thing is like we won't be able to understand it or explain it.
Right.
But what I think we try to group everything into one thing. So like your buddy that saw the dude walking up the hill, I think that may have been a different thing from like someone experiencing like a ghost in their house, like talking to them. And I think that it could be like, so your buddy that saw the thing, I think that could be like the imprint of something traumatic that happened.
Sure.
And like, it's just like this loop thing. I don't even know how to explain
how
that.
Certain,
I don't even know how to think about
it. How certain places on earth are more susceptible to, like, if there are different realms, if there are veils are thinner in different areas, that would be it. Or,
but when people talk to like ghosts and stuff, I think that is not the person's soul. I think that is
a demonic deception.
Demonic. Yeah. I think that's like a deception kind of thing.
I can get down with that.
God's gonna, I mean, yeah, Satan's gonna tell you anything he wants for you to believe. Yeah.
Okay, get into your ghost story. Okay.
Ghost story, right, dude.
You wanna hit it again one time?
Yeah. Ghost stories with Hardy.
Okay. So I collect Native American artifacts, and I have for about 15 years now. And I love it. It's a huge, I hunt and I fish and I find arrowheads. That's what I do. And I can't remember the year. Let's call it like 4 years ago. It was like around COVID-ish time. I think maybe it was more like 2019. The Cumberland River, which is the main river that runs right through the middle of Nashville. It's like, you know, Tennessee's probably second biggest river. Stayed really high from like November to like April. Like it just, we had a ton of rain and it stayed high. And so when you find arrowheads, I'm sure maybe you guys are familiar with this, but you can either find them like in plowed fields next to running water.
Or like a riverbed.
River and creek banks and stuff, like and stuff like that. But or like riverbanks, like in the mud, right? Yeah. So this river, the Cumberland, had stayed high. And so basically over the course of, you know, months, that running water is just carving inches away from the bank, right? So basically my buddy and I, we have like a website, and it tells it, you can see the elevation every single day, and we watch it all the time, and it's like, hey, it's down to 18 feet and it's about to rain, let's go look after it, you know, that kind of thing. And I can't remember if it was me or my buddy, but one of us texted the other one and was like, hey, the river is dropping for the first time in like 6 months. We got to go. We got to be the first, because it's a little like you run into other people out there like looking for artifacts. It's like a thing. And so,
that's so cool.
We went one afternoon and we found a bunch of arrowheads. Like we were like, holy crap, this is like prime. Like this is a 1 in 5 year like event, like, you know, where there's just stuff laying everywhere. And it was right around dark. And at the time I just had this little John boat, and we were just putting up and down the river. And like, we'd pull up to a bank and like he and I would flip a coin, and one of us would literally go that way and the other one would go that way until you kind of run out of room, and then you'd come back. And we both met back in the boat, and I had found this really sweet, like really nice arrowhead. And he had found a couple things, and he was like, you got to come see this. And I was like, let's go. So he was like, I found something insane. And so we walked down the riverbank like 200 or 300 yards. And so if you picture the riverbank like a wall, like the actual bank of the river, right? So we're walking like on the beach of the bank, right? So the wall is like brown, 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 and then it just turns black for like, you know, 30 or 40 feet. And there is like flint is what, you know, like you find. So there's flint, and there's like pottery, there's like animal bones, like just dumping, like it's in the density was like insane. And so we start kind of looking around, and we're finding like broken arrowheads. He found like a giant flake of flint that somebody had like made a knife out of. It's like the coolest thing ever. Anyway, we find some stuff and we take it. There was no like human bone. There was nothing sketchy, nothing like disrespectful about what we were doing. We just found like a campsite that was very new because the river had been high and washing out. So I go home, don't think anything about it. And this is all, so when I tell this story, a lot of this is after the peak of the story, which I'm going to tell you. But then I start looking back at signs and I'm like, holy crap, this is what was happening. But I'm going to tell it in the order now for dramatic effect, right? So,
do the button again.
Dramatic effect.
Dramatic effect. So, like night 3 or 4 after I have my little handful of artifacts that I've put in my cases and stuff like that, I lived in a house almost identical to this. I'm talking like the looks of it, the driveway length, everything. A cabin at the top of a hill in the middle of the woods, almost identical to this. So 4 or 5 nights in a row, my truck alarm started going off. And although I lived in the middle of nowhere, I would lock my truck and bring my keys inside because you never know, you know? And my truck alarm would go off and I would wake up in the middle of the night, my bedroom. So my house was like this. I had a loft thing just like that. And I had my master bedroom would have been like right up there. And so I would get up and I would go downstairs and I would like either hit the button on my keys or whatever, however I figured out how to turn my truck alarm off. Well, then at the time, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she lived in an apartment in Nashville. There were a couple times where my truck alarm would go off there at this, like I would stay the night with her or whatever, and it kept going off like every single night. Okay, long story short, one night at my house, my cabin that I lived in, my truck alarm stopped going off. I didn't think anything about it, and I woke up one morning and every light in my house was on. Every single light in my house was on.
No way.
And and I like was again like went to bed sober. It wasn't like I had a wild and crazy night or anything like that. And I was like, man, that's weird. The next night, the next morning, I would wake up. A few random lights in the house would be on. One morning, I woke up and I had my blender and my microwave and a few other of my countertop appliances were unplugged and my kitchen window had been unlatched and pushed open.
Dude, what?
Dude, what? It gets so much better, dude. It gets so much better.
It's so terrifying.
My wife and I, we had a guest bedroom just like literally under the stairs like this that we were like finishing, you know, and she had bought this mirror. This is all over the span of like a month and a half or 2 months.
Okay.
And so she and I like hung this mirror above our bed. It was like a twin bed. And my wife is like very, she's more of a perfectionist than I am. So she's like just very meticulous and we hung it 50 million different ways. And finally we got it perfect and we looked at it really good and we're like, okay, good. And we go to bed. The next day the mirror's got a giant scratch across the freaking mirror.
Oh, dude.
Dude, listen. So there was one night shortly after that. We're watching.
Stop saying it's like this cabin.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
It's almost uncanny.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was this actual. It's been a long time. I think this was the house.
Who was the architect?
One night, she and I, when it was like season 3 of Yellowstone, like we were big into Yellowstone at the time, and we're watching Yellowstone, and we hear something downstairs over the noise of the TV. And she was like, what was that? And I was like, I don't know. And in my head, I was like, that sounded like a chair just got like scooted across our floor. And I went downstairs the next morning and the chair at my kitchen table had not been thrown across, but was 6 feet out from maybe 4 or 5 feet out from my chair. And the sound that it made that night, it sounded like, you know, just yeah. So, okay. So, at that point, I'm like, okay, something is going on. And I've lived in this house for like 6 or 8 months, so I know that...
this isn't normal.
Right. It's
yeah,
not,
something's
it's not
up.
Like immediately after I moved in.
Something's
thing.
Changed.
So my wife, again, girlfriend at the time, she was like, I love you. Until this stops happening, I can't stay out here. It's freaking me out. And I, like, this was my first home I ever That's bought. Fair. I was not even afraid. I was more just like annoyed and like pissed because I was just like, I don't know. There was just this thing in me that was like, man, my first freaking house and I've got this crap going on and we can't sleep at night. So
was she feeling something or was it like
she knew like with the lights coming on and like it would be like we would come downstairs and like something would be weird in the morning. Like it just, I don't know how to describe it, but like a window would be open. It was just something like all the time. So there was one week that I woke up every single night at 2:59 or 3 a.m. on the freaking dot for like 5 days in a row.
That's so, that's every like horror movie I've ever seen.
I know, it's like literally out of a movie.
Yeah.
2:59, maybe 2:58, 9 or 3 a.m. every single morning on the dot. And I could not figure out why. And I do not wake up in the middle of the night. So the last night, this was like day 3 or 4 of doing that. And I did most or like every one of those nights, like I didn't think anything about it and I went back to sleep. The last night, I woke up and it was at, you know, 2:59, 3 o'clock, and I was in a cold. I was like borderline having a panic attack out of my sleep. Like it wasn't just like something. I felt something. Like it. I felt like my, I'm telling you, I had a physical reaction out of my sleep. Like my heart was racing. I was sweating and I turned my lamp on and I put my feet on the side of the bed and I stand up. And when I tell you like that, so pretend that that like chandelier, like that's my master bedroom. When I stood up, something jumped from that balcony to the floor and it ran through my house to the point where I grabbed my gun, dude, and I freaking racked that thing and I ran downstairs and I freaking vetted my entire house. I checked every corner, every closet, and everything because it was so real that I was convinced that somebody was in my house. And dude, there was nothing.
So scared right now.
There was, dude, there was literally
that is the scariest nothing. Image.
Dude,
just the, like, the running of feet.
So dude, the whole thing. So I heard the creak of the, this is how specific it was. If you were to sit, if you were like sitting on that and you were to put pressure on it to hoist just yourself off, I heard like the wood crack from the hands, the pressure, and then a second of pause, and then like
visually, like I need to know like more.
Was just like
I never saw anything. I never saw anything. I only heard it. I only heard it. But I know, and like to the point where like it wasn't a raccoon, dude. Right. It was like it was. These were like human. It was like human feet.
And a validity to the listeners, this dude hunts all the time. So like you're used to hearing stuff in the woods and like that's a squirrel, that's a raccoon. Like
yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean it was like the thud shook my windows. Like I heard the dishes in my thing.
Like
in
a human sized weight capacity.
1000%, dude.
Was the door open?
The door was not open. And dude, I have a basement. I mean I went through everything. I went outside, I turned all my outside lights on. It was like a whole thing. So at that point, now I'm like I'm freaked out, and so the next morning, I don't even know, I can't remember if I went back to bed or what, but I called Callie, my wife, the next morning, and I was like, okay, this happened, we got to figure it out. So I can't remember, it was like a girl that she knows from back home, a woman from back home or something, but the woman was like, take sage, buy sage on Amazon and come inside and sage every corner of your house, every single corner, every single doorway, and you come in with an intention and you tell it to leave. And I felt like an idiot. Like I was like, this is stupid. This is like some hocus pocus craziness. And dude, the next night we went in there and like, we're both like, okay, here we go. And we light the sage and we sage our entire house. And they're like, open every window, open every door. And you tell that thing to get out. This is your house. This is where you live. Get out. And I did it. And dude, not a single thing happened after that. But the craziest, there's two crazy things. So from that moment, nothing ever happened ever again. No sort of paranormal or poltergeist or whatever, like activity. Nothing ever happened. Yeah. Except, so my family lives here. So my mom and dad, my sister and brother-in-law and their kids, they all live in Nashville now. My mom, who is like my buddy, does not over-embellish, does not lie, would text me and be like, I went out to your house today. It was, you know, it was kind of like my parents would come out there and sit by the fire or like whatever, or, you know, like mom stuff. Like she'd come spruce up or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she would be like, I went into your bedroom and the lamp turned on and off. And I would announce out loud, I'm leaving. And then I would go at the one specific day. She was like, I left that room and I went to leave. And there was a lamp by the outside door. And she was like, I'm leaving. And as she said that, the lamp by the door turned on and off. And she was like, I know I'm not going back.
My goodness.
So dude. The second craziest thing was we didn't tell anybody about this for like months. And my buddy who I was with, that day that I guess whatever thing came home with me that day.
Oh, the one you were hunting with.
Yes.
Yeah. Looking for
something. Lived in like a townhome, and I finally told him, I was like, man, I had a bunch of crazy stuff happen at my house after that first day at the river. And he was like, what day was that? And I was like, well, it was over this span of time. And he was like, man, one night I woke up and my dog was barking, and dude, this is stupid. But he was like, his dog's name is Layla. And he was like, she never barks. And he was like, I woke up and I heard a thud downstairs. And they live like at a brand new like townhome thing. And the next day he said he woke up and there was no like nothing downstairs that had been like, you know, moved or whatever. But the latch to his Arrowhead case had been opened and something had opened the case to his freaking Arrowhead case where his like the stuff that he found that day was in his Arrowhead case.
What?
Oh my life. And that's it. That's the whole story. Never saw anything crazy, dude. But it's. I was like, I always like wanted to believe, but I'd never like had a story. And dude, that's the realest. I've never experienced anything where like I'm telling you, like I would wake up and lights would be on in my house, like switches had been flipped. And then when I heard the thing jump off the thing and run through my house, that it's the realest thing I've ever experienced in my life. It was insane.
Please leave an arrowhead here just to mess with it.
I tonight. Almost brought one, dude. I almost brought one for you guys because I was like, I think I'm going to tell that story tonight. But dude, that's it. Dude.
I'm so glad you did. But also, I can't get out the image of just whatever would jump off the balcony, dude. I'm hearing the thud and the steps running out of the house.
We're going to have fun making a reel out of that.
Oh, dude, that's gnarly. Did that change your perspective on things? Like,
I think so a little bit. And I actually looked up, there's a ton of like Reddit forums and stuff like that of people that say, man, a lot of times when you go to a site where you know it's very potent with artifacts or whatever, take a dip, take some tobacco, take a cigarette and or something, leave a gift and say like, thank you for letting me take your stuff that you made or whatever, like give an offering a little bit of just whoever that is and just be like, thank you. I respect this and blah, blah, blah. I respect your craft and all that.
I'm going to find an arrow.
So I do that a lot. And they say that you'll actually have a Native American girl actually recently was like, yeah, if you leave a gift that they will, it's not like luck, but like, you know, a lot of times you'll find something really cool if you go in there with respect and leave a little something behind as a thank you.
All the kids are going to be like, wow, I'm going to go arrowhead hunting, and they just find cigarettes all day. Smoking cigarettes.
American grizzly just
just a grizzly can.
Mud wall.
Hardy's got a squad of 15-year-olds behind him.
You're going to follow me following arrowheads, and you're just going to find bottles of Mountain Dew buried. This is my offering.
They never had that. They probably would love that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That'd be great.
The tobacco thing's crazy, though, because I was watching that Ancient Apocalypse with Graham Hancock. And the shamas, when they're doing the ayahuasca thing, with the roots, with the knives, all that stuff, they're smoking this tobacco, and they're blowing the tobacco smoke all over it. And that's just weird, because that's like in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And for him, it was just like, that's what we've been taught to do since whatever the entity told them, if you make this, then you could communicate with us.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean?
Root cutting, like, dude.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's all weird, man. All that, that's the thing. It's like, why would that specific group of people have a spirit that is so strong or whatever that would like follow
an entity,
entity or something maybe they did have their
but we talked about like where the hand up greeting came from.
So did you hear about that?
No, you mean so, just like the classic
how
so
yeah so
that was, good. They, that was really good.
They would hold up their hands, and the only reason they did that was because they wanted to see if the person had six fingers, which dates back to like the Nephilim kind of stuff.
Like the
half fallen angel, half man. And they'd have six fingers, six toes.
Well, how did the Native Americans know?
Well, there's so many stories within like Canada, the US, South America, all over the world is just like these giants. And like but we talked about recently that state park in Canada, the Dene or the Dean tribe or whatever they're called, when someone would die, they would burn every single possible thing that they owned because they're afraid of like the spirit coming back and lingering. And so I don't know.
But even ancient peoples, it was episode 2 of Graham Hancock's new series where they're looking at the murals and they're like comparing them to other areas. They didn't even bring it up, but they were showing depictions of hands.
Bro, with six fingers.
There was six fingers on one of them. I made my wife look. I was like,
I forgot to mention
it's
that.
Right there. Yeah. It's like, that's crazy. Not a mistake, right? Like, that can't be a mistake.
It's weird.
I mean, he was talking about mixing it with resin, like very intentional to like make sure that this imprint
that stayed for like forever.
Yeah, you're not painting an additional
finger.
Yeah,
so they had a hand with like five fingers, and right beside it was one a hand of six
above
fingers.
Above it to the left.
Explain it.
That's
my thing.
Let's hear it.
Like, okay, this is in the fold. This is really, but like the theory that like whoever that somebody was coming to check on planet Earth to make sure that we were, you know, whatever, however we were placed here or whatever. Like, we're coming back to check on us type of thing. I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, they're called the Watchers.
Right. And but maybe it was at a time where these Watchers knew that, you know, they can't come back now because everybody would know about it, right? So maybe back then it was like a thing where they would check on this continent or this area or whatever, and they would say, how's it going? And they would show their six fingers because they knew that that communication would not be widespread and that the world wouldn't panic or whatever. Does that make sense at all?
I'm trying to track.
Like, let's call this 10,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, right? That's when, like, North America was thriving with natives or whatever. Yeah. And the rest of the world.
Post-Ice Age.
Post-Ice Age. Yeah. There is no communication between continents. So if there were these Watcher-type people who obviously know what's going on here on planet Earth for whatever reason.
So they were like the guys that would come back and like check.
Yeah, so maybe so, because they knew that right back then, year, you know, 6,000 BC was a good time where like they could do that and get away with it, because now if they did that, the whole world would freak out and probably nuke each other or something crazy because we have the internet and because we have TV and all that. So maybe that's, but all I'm saying is like, maybe that's the reason that, That's tough. I know that's super deep in the hole.
Well, it's, so you look at all these ancient civilizations and they all have the conversation.
That's why there's so many similarities. That's what I was trying to say.
So the Anunnaki, Native Americans have the star people, and like everybody has a story of someone descending down from above and passing on information. And so they all have this unified.
There's spaceships that are in hieroglyphs and crap like that.
Yeah, this unified narrative. And then the question is then like, well, where did that go? Why was it happening then? Why isn't it happening now? But then you think about like the way that,
how is it now?
But like you think about the way that angels appeared and like in biblical texts.
Well, dude,
like,
they were terrifying.
But they also. But they were also able, like in the story of like Sodom and Gomorrah, like when they came into the city, they were considered as beautiful men. So I think angels have the ability. And even like when they came down to take wives, and, you know, like fallen angels, I think they have this ability to be more than one definitive form.
Yeah, that's what people get confused about, too. Everyone lumps angels into, like, one group.
The prettiest version.
Yeah, but, like, you talk about seraphim, cherubim.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, they were...
Like all the eyeballs and the crazy, the how they're actually described.
That's why everyone's just like, please don't kill me. Like, they filter their face, you know? Like,
and I think it's looking into a different dimension. It's like, what on earth does a being through a kaleidoscope in our three-dimensional world? Like, it's just like, I can't process that. Like, start freaking out.
Sure.
Yeah, it's something we literally couldn't describe.
Yeah. And maybe back then was an appropriate time to visit people because it wouldn't ensue chaos across the entire planet.
Yeah.
So maybe the six-fingered being saw this guy and then this guy in Africa and this guy here and this guy here, and all these people drew pictures of it. But did they, you just can't do that now, or I feel like the
comes out in different ways.
Yeah, it would, or just the world would go bananas, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even there's like the debate of like pre-flood, like when were these encounters happening? Tower of Babel was built by, you know, the story is like a Nephilim, and so the flood happens and all of this history, some of it remains on rocks, and the timeline is one of the most like debated.
Yeah, sure.
When did this stuff happen?
When does science say that the flood happened?
Well,
because it did happen.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously, whether you have faith or not, like it happened.
10,000 years ago.
Okay,
was like that. That's the. It's not debated. That's based solely off of like every culture talks about the flood.
They all have a great flood story.
And it was like 10,000 years ago,
happening within the same time period.
Yeah.
So was that around? I guess 12,000 was around the time that like the Ice Age ended, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's called the Younger Dryas.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, which matches up pretty exactly with like the story of Noah too from the Bible. So, it's pretty really interesting, very fascinating.
The similarities are weird.
Yeah,
I do think that. Maybe I don't know. I can't remember what I've heard from you guys and what I've heard from other things, but most of it's you guys. But like the story of Noah can kind of check out because, it does. But it's his story of the flood. But he just collected the animals that were in his region, right? Have you guys talked about that before? Or was that somebody else? I don't know if
we talked about that.
We haven't dove into, because it doesn't say, a lot of people get hung up on species, but the word is kind. And so like two of every kind. And so it wasn't a leopard and a lion. It was two felines.
Big cats, right? Yeah. Or whatever.
Or just any feline. And so, and then we like on the weird side of like theory and creature, like we talk about how not only were Nephilim created by fallen angels, but they're like other beings that could have been also, you know, that's where you get like stories of like, not to be super weird, I mean, this is ninjas or butterflies. Yeah, we're going to go. But like, you know, like things like mermaids and like all these legendary like creatures, like, you know,
and they like were, Hillary Clinton and
mermaids,
just Clintons. Kidding.
Lizard people. But
yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows, man?
I think we'll know one day.
That's, yeah.
I think we'll know on Patreon.
And I, it is.
Subscribe to Patreon. I think we're going to have the answers.
This is getting close to the longest we've done.
Which actually figure it out on Patreon.
Guys, please, I'm telling you, go subscribe.
I do want to tell him, and I've mentioned it briefly before, but the story, do you remember the house on the bayou where there were, like, it was haunted, and they realized it was haunted, they got rid of the haunt? Remember me telling the story?
Is this in Louisiana?
This was in, actually, my hometown, Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Okay, cool.
But do you remember it?
No.
Okay. It's probably when I was filming myself with a cell phone. It was like early days of the podcast. Anyways, Patreon. I'm going to give a refresher because it's very, very similar to your story.
Yeah, I
want to
hear it.
Yeah.
Dude, your story was so scary. Your scary was so story. That's literally what I was trying not to say.
Just a puddle underneath you. You've just been peeing this whole time.
So scared.
I'm fully expecting to wake up with Josh at the foot of the bed being like, can I sleep with you?
Well, now I'm really scared, dude, because you kept on being like, yeah, it was like up there.
I'm sorry. It's just
that's where I've never
been able to tell this story in a house that's almost identical to my actual, like the house that happened in.
I'm just going to drop a duffel bag from the top of the balcony. So it just sounds like a large thud.
We're going to find like his initials carved into a piece of the wood in this place. Like, I think this was Hardy's place.
This was the actual house.
Yeah.
Well, I think let's keep going with this stuff.
Yeah,
100%, 100%. Let's dive in.
We're gonna get more weird.
And I do Patreon. I do have a reel, and I'll show you that as well.
We didn't do that. Yeah.
Yep.
And
I got a weird one.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's what we got.
Bada boom, bada bing, and it's in the books. Should we start recording now? That was a warm up, right?
Yeah, that was.
Cool. All right, let's do the pod now. Hey guys, thank you so much for watching.
Seriously, yeah,
Hardy,
thank you for being here, man.
Thanks, guys.
You got anything coming up? You got any? Are you touring? Are you taking time off? What are you doing?
Dude,
what are you
working on? I got nothing, dude. I got a baby coming in February. So,
woo! Congrats, dude.
No, I'm doing recording new music, but I'll announce a tour maybe later this year. But no, I'm just here chilling, man.
Dude, heck yeah!
Taylor Swift album needs to come soon.
Yeah,
dude, just do it.
Everyone's gonna be talking about it in the comments. They need this now.
Dope.
Awesome. Yeah. So go to patreon.com/ninjas or butterflies, download the app, get extra episodes, discount codes for merch, all that fun stuff. And we do have extra episodes every single week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sundaycoolswag.com if you want any of the merch.
And Sunday Cool if you want custom merch.
Bada right? boom. Bada right. bing.
Yeah. Hardy gets it.
He sung about it earlier.
He did.
Yep.
All right, cool. Guys. We love you.
Love you. Thank you, Hardy. Thank you so much for being here.
Sir. Thanks, guys.
Peace, peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's
creatures. I said, empty your mind.
You learn martial arts. Fuck ninjas are
dead. Dude, I went to a church camp kind of thing in Daytona one time. You guys remember Evan's Corner?
Edwin's Corner. Yeah, he got me onto this. I couldn't believe it. It's so funny.
Yeah, it was good.
He's the new Edwin.
I'm wondering if what year do you think you went to that?
That was probably Daytona. Chris Tomlin led the freaking world show.
You were there? Dude,
we were at the same thing.
That's amazing.
Was the
we were at the same thing.
How old were you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
32.
I'm 34, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's wild.
It was, that's the first time I saw Edwin Skorner, and I'm like, this is the funniest thing.
That's it.
That's what inspired me to do all the skit stuff.
No way. Dude, that's crazy. Yeah. That was like probably 2008 or 7.
Yes.
Yeah,
dude. That's insane.
He was there at the inception of Carl.
And that was and like now the inception here. Of Hardy.
Absolutely. He's like, I like that guy's look over there. I want to be music. I'm going to do music.